Next item on the agenda is Virginia Beach Department of Public Works, number 18-1472. Mr. Worrell?
Good morning, Commissioner Bowman, members of the commission.
Good morning.
The City of Virginia Beach is requesting authorization to install up to 8 acres of three-dimensional concrete reef structures on state-owned submerged lands within the Lynnhaven River near the mouth of Dix Creek, directly north of Five Hill Trail in the Seabreeze Farm subdivision. The reef field will consist of 1.5 feet wide by 1 foot high dome-shaped concrete structures, including marker piles around the perimeter. The project is protested by numerous adjacent property owners and a commercial waterman. Before we get into it, the city's contracted with the Army Corps of Engineers in this matter and on similar projects. So essentially, the Corps is acting as the designer, the agent, the contractor, all wrapped into one. And you'll hear from the Corps today as well. But the stated purpose of the application is to, quote unquote, restore historic reef habitat in the Lynnhaven Basin. We'll start off with an aerial overview and vicinity map. Excuse me. Right here, the yellow balloon is the proposed site. We'll get a little bit closer into that here in a minute. Just to the north, northeast, this is the eastern branch of the Lynnhaven River channel. This is the western branch channel. They meet just north of Humes Island. As you will also recognize, the Lynnhaven Inlet to the north is the Lesner Bridge and the very popular city Crab Creek Lynnhaven Beach and Boat Ramp Facility. And, of course, Chesapeake Bay is just to the north. And let me change, see if I can change this. There we go. This is a tax map image from the city of Virginia Beach showing the same area. The same tax map image with an aerial overlaying it. Staff notified approximately 40 different residences and property owners along this stretch of the Lynnhaven. Our understanding is the city did likewise. The city and the Corps also notified these property owners. The city and the Corps, it's our understanding, also notified property owners along Dix Creek. The city and the Corps also held two public open house meetings to review the proposal and answer questions of the neighborhood residents. This is a map showing all of the shellfish leases in this area. It's a popular congested area. The red area denoted here is the City of Virginia Beach lease. It's about 25 acres. The north quadrant of about 8 acres is where this reef is proposed. This reef was purchased, the city purchased this lease from a leaseholder about 3 or 4 years ago. Staff did notify all of the surrounding leaseholders that abutted this particular lease. This is an image provided by the Corps. The area outlined in white is the lease boundary, and inside in yellow is the proposed reef. You'll notice they're also starting to show some of the mean low water depths within the lease. It is very shallow, and that's one of the issues and concerns we'll address as well.
While you're at it, Ms. Everett, can you see the depths on there as well? If not, if you can, for the...
I have some additional slides that highlight the depths.
Yes,
sir.
Sure.
Yes, sir. This is the 8-acre reef site within the overall lease. I've highlighted in yellow the 8 acres of the concrete reef. In the red dots surrounding it, there are 10 red dots surrounding it. Never mind this pointer that is locked in there for some reason. But the other red dots are project marker piles with signs, with danger signs. So basically what we have here, and my mouse is not working now, but you have 8 acres in the yellow, and 10 project marking piles with signs around the entire perimeter.
But how far apart are they? I'm sure they'd be pretty much equal distance.
I believe they're approximately 200, 250 feet apart. For some scale and perspective, this 8-acre site, it's the approximate of the same area of six complete football fields, okay, if you were to imagine that in the Lynn Haven on this site. All right. So, slide showing the entire area, if you can actually see that, those are actually dots. So those are all of the dots of the reef ball / dome structures. They're all going to be on 2-foot spacing. There's a small row in the middle that is proposed at 1-foot spacing. We'll get a little bit closer and show you the details of each structure. And I know the Corps will go over this. They are 1.5 feet wide, 1 foot tall. They are concrete. The majority of the structure will be on 2-foot spacing, and then there's a small section on 1-foot spacing. It's a sample drawing of the marking pile with the danger sign on top. Again, there will be 10 of these proposed around the perimeter of the project. The signs are approximately 7 feet above mean high water. Now we have a closer view. This is the reef area, is supposed to be a faint yellow. If you can see that, again, the red dots denoting the channel the project markers around the perimeter. And I've highlighted, these are depths at low water. So this survey, there's a survey grid under this showing all of the depths of the area at low water. Okay. As you can see, it's very shallow. The project, the reef structures are 1 foot tall. At low tide, you have pretty much anywhere from 1 foot to about 2.5 feet, getting down to 3 feet down here in the corner.
Yes, ma'am.
So when you say 1 foot, 2.5 feet, or 3 feet in the corner, that's with the 1 foot reef ball. That's,
no.
Okay.
These depths exist now, okay, without the reef structure. That's the depth at low tide that you have in this area. And I apologize, the mouse and the marker are not showing very well today. We received multiple protests from a lot of the residents in the area. Also received a protest from a waterman who works in the area. And I want to make sure, normally don't list these, but I want to list these and go over them individually and elaborate on a couple of them. Of course, we notified several folks. As part of the public interest review, not only did we notify folks with a memo, the city and the Corps notified folks, had meetings. I also went out and visited with as many of the protestants as I could to have face-to-face meetings. And I've talked to the ones by telephone that I couldn't meet on site. So we'll go through these quickly. The concerns are that the reef and marker piles will affect property views and serve as an eyesore. The proposal will adversely affect their nearby property values. The reef is not compatible with ongoing waterway uses, such as kayaking, windsurfing, sailing, paddleboarding, jet skiing, tubing, swimming, and boating. A lot of your tidal water activities in shallow tidal water. There are non-residential users that also frequently recreate in this area, given the proximity to the city's boat ramp and the nearby city channels. The neighbors were also concerned that if constructed, the reef will essentially preclude the public from access and use over top of the area. And there was a concern expressed that the reef shouldn't be concrete and it'll have too little water over top. Now, these last two I've highlighted because, let me state them first. The submitted application and drawing information is not correct. The original application included survey maps that indicated or gave the impression that the water was deeper than it really is. That datum was corrected. We always want to see mean low water surveyed. Basically using zero. The Corps and the city provided us with those surveys. They're the maps you see today. But the original submittal, the map was incorrect. Also, there was a comment in the original joint permit application that stated the reef will maintain 2 to 4 feet of water over top at mean low water. It's not possible. That's incorrect. The original drawings also showed a series of neighborhood and city channels coming out of Dix Creek around the area. They did not exist. Those have been removed from the drawings as well.
Who caught those errors?
All of us, okay. including the residents. We also received a protest, like I said, from a waterman who works. He has a nearby lease. He doesn't abut directly to this lease, but he has a nearby lease, and he's also a fisherman and a crabber in the Lynn Haven. He says the area is entirely too shallow, the reef will become a safety hazard, and the proposal will be installed over existing shellfish habitat, and the reef will essentially eliminate additional crabbing area. And let me back up for one very important point that I missed. This last protest, the area is too shallow and the reef will become a safety hazard. Pretty much in every protest and every conversation I had with the neighbors, they all expressed this concern. You'll hear from some of the neighbors, but the concern was not only for people that live there and boat, but for people that come to the city to recreate and boat in this area. A lot of concern that this will essentially serve as a safety hazard. Someone may get hurt. And there may be impacts to voters. So we have a few photos from the protestants' properties on the Lynn Haven River. So I'll show you just a couple of these. Looking from the protestants' properties out into the Lynn Haven over where the reef would be proposed.
Can you show me where the reef would be in that picture?
Yes, sir.
That's a point of reference.
It would be right in here.
Okay.
In all of these pictures, there are only three pictures here, all of them looking in the same direction. This is an 8-acre lease, so excuse me, 8-acre reef, so it's, it encompasses this whole area. In terms of comments or actions from other agencies, the Department of Environmental Quality determined the request was exempt from permitting. The Corps Regulatory Division does not permit Corps design projects. So essentially, VMRC is the only regulatory agency that's issuing a permit, so to speak. And the Coast Guard did approve the piled marking plan. We also received letters of support from the Chesapeake Bay Office of NOAA, Lynn Haven River Now, and a joint letter signed by the city's acting city manager and Colonel Kinsman from the Corps. We also received a report from the Virginia Institute of Marine Science, and some of their comments stated that it was highly likely this reef will support the settlement and growth of oysters. The project could dampen wakes and wave energy and provide some water quality benefits. But they also mentioned that the use of shell may be more cost-effective and socially acceptable. Now, these are images I collected while I was on the boat with the city and the Corps. And as you can see, some of the state corners of the footprint of the reef. This is looking back to the north. This is here's one of the stakes, another stake, Lynn Haven Inlet, beach and boat ramp facility. And we're now looking back at a couple of the protestants and their piers. And this is looking back into Dix Creek to the south. This is the last slide I'll show that just shows the survey depths at mean low tide, and I'll go right into the summary. The City of Virginia Beach has stressed that the reef proposal is adequately designed and located and is in the best interest of the city, its citizens, and the Lynn Haven River ecosystem. Commission staff applauds the city and the Corps for actively and aggressively seeking projects that enhance the sustainability of shellfish reefs in the Lynn Haven and its tributaries. Specifically, in the last 10 to 15 years, the Lynn Haven system has seen tremendous improvements in water quality and oyster growth, thanks in part to similar projects. In fact, numerous oyster restoration projects have previously been established in the Lynn Haven, including those constructed in partnership with the commission that primarily utilized rock and shell. As part of such aggressive projects, however, comes the responsibility to abide by the public trust doctrine and ensure that everyone continues to have the ability and opportunity to safely enjoy the waters of the Commonwealth. Staff is concerned about the safety of the reef structure and the public navigating around or through it. In addition to the concerns expressed by the protesting neighbors, the subject area contains minimal depths of 1 to 3 feet of water at low tide, And if approved, the construction will include 8 acres of concrete reef structures, the tops of which will be extremely close to the water surface. Section 28.2.1205A of the Code of Virginia, pertaining to permits for the use of state-owned bottomlands, specifically states that the Commission shall, quote, consider the public and private benefits of the proposed project in order to protect and safeguard the public right to the use and enjoyment of the subaqueous lands of the Commonwealth, held in trust by it for the benefit of the people as conferred by the public trust doctrine and the Constitution of Virginia. Even though the city cannot prohibit the public from navigating or recreating over state-owned submerged lands, if constructed as proposed, the concrete reef's existence in such shallow water will essentially prohibit public access and use. Based on the comments we have received from the public and other agencies, staff concurs that the reef will succeed at providing additional hard bottom habitat and promoting shellfish growth. However, we also believe that the safety questions and concerns are significant and should not be diminished. We also have concerns regarding the reef's impact on the public use of this area within the waterway. This proposal ultimately requires a determination of whether the project benefits will outweigh the detriments, including the numerous public safety concerns and the removal of the area from the public's access and enjoyment. Given the unique issues in this case, and especially considering that the city as the applicant believes that it is representing the overall interest of its citizens, staff does not feel it's appropriate to provide a specific recommendation to the commission. If the commission favors the proposal, we do, however, believe it needs to find that the public and private benefits of the proposal exceed the public and private detriments in accordance with all factors contained in Section 28.2.1205 of the Code. In that scenario, the commission would need to conclude that the project merits are in the overall best interest of all citizens of the Commonwealth versus the protests and concerns expressed. If the commission is not in favor of the proposal, then the request should be denied. If the city feels that such a concrete reef must be constructed in the Lynn Haven, it can then continue to work with the Corps and or adjacent residents to redesign or relocate a proposal for future permit consideration. And if the commission ultimately decides to approve the proposal, staff recommends that the approval include a permit condition requiring a post-construction survey that identifies the coordinates of all marker piles and reef corners. That's my presentation. I'll be glad to answer any questions, and there are several folks here on both sides.
Okay, questions, and I'll start down the way on this side. Mr. France.
Yes, What was the discussion on alternative substrates, and what kind of substrate is there now?
The substrate is hard sand bottom. I also confirmed that with a visit. There was discussion with the city and the Corps about possibly using oyster shell. I think I'll maybe defer to the Corps and the city on that, but the bottom line was they did not want to use oyster shell at this time, and they wanted to use the concrete restructures.
Mr. Tankard.
So you've got the mean low water depths here, and what about high tide? What are we looking at for depth?
Basically another foot and a half.
Another
foot and a half. Foot and a half to not quite 2 feet.
So follow-up question.
Yes, sir.
So a lot of this is not potable area.
I don't think the residents would agree with that. A lot of the Lynn Haven is shallow water system, and they watch the tide and the water like a lot of folks, and this area is, according to the citizens, I've covered Virginia Beach for 15 years, it is used quite often. And I think it is worth the consideration that people come to the city by this boat ramp facility nearby to utilize this area, given its proximity to the ramp and the city channels, that they can get outside the city channels and come and recreate in the shallow tidal water with the hard sandy bottom.
Mr. Zedrin.
Two questions. One, you talked about those red markers. When this project is concluded, do they come out?
No, sir. They would be left there permanently to mark the perimeter of the reef.
All right. Second question. The lease as it was before the city bought it, could the leaseholder put aquaculture cages on it?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Ballard.
How far away are the city channels, and could you kind of point out the proximity to the nearest channel?
This vacant area here is the eastern branch of the Lynn Haven River. And this is the western branch as it comes through. You can sort of see.
I don't know if we can see the mouth.
Yeah, let me try that again. All right, here we go. Right through here. This is the western branch. This is the eastern branch. They tie together. Here are the Marsh Islands and the Lynn Haven. It is shallow, and obviously at different tides, you see more of the islands, more of the sand flats. In some cases, you see aquaculture. We're about a mile and a quarter from the Lynn Haven Inlet, south.
Further questions? Thank you, sir. City of Virginia Beach, present or represented? Good morning, sir. Ma'am?
Good morning.
We might have to get some IT help. I'm not sure.
Along that same line, is that mouse in need of new batteries or something, or do we know? Is Dave or somebody here?
What you all can't see, the city and the Corps have their own presentation.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it's not coming up.
So I don't want to disrupt it right now, but between now and the next presentation, if you can take a look at that, I'd appreciate that, Dave. Thank you. Do you need him for this?
Dave. Yeah. Oh, we had their presentation on the desktop, and now it's gone. We need to upload it again. Everything's gone off.
Where did the...
If you can you have them make it connect with theirs?
Yeah, if I can try and get it. If I can get the get it to respond here. Seems to be.
Okay, commission will be in recess for about 5 minutes. Thanks. Apologize for the technical error. We will be back in session. We previously sworn. Raise your right hand. I'm going to swear the testimony you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
I do.
First, whoever's coming up, state your name for the record, please.
I'm Jeffrey Waller, the project manager for the Lynn Haven Ecosystem Restoration Project with the City of Virginia Beach.
Thank you, sir. Good to have you here.
Good morning. Commissioner and the Commission members, thank you for the opportunity to speak on behalf of permit application number 18-1472, the Lynn Haven Ecosystem Reef Habitat Restoration Phase 1 Action. The City of Virginia Beach is the non-federal sponsor of this project. Mr. Thomas Leahy, the acting city manager of the City of Virginia Beach, along with the leadership of the city, are in full support of this permanent action in restoring the Lynn Haven River. The city has been working collaboratively with the on this project for a decade with the United States Army Corps of Engineers, providing sponsor funds, coordinating public meetings, participating in design and reviewing plans, and drawings and permits. In your agenda package today, you will find a joint letter signed by Mr. Leahy and Colonel Patrick Kinsman, the commander of the United States Army Corps of Engineers Norfolk District, endorsing the proposed action and the watershed benefits that are anticipated from the permit implementation. The project is integral to achieving restoration goals in the Lynn Haven River under the 2014 Chesapeake Bay Agreement. We have two other restoration partners who have submitted letters of support, Mrs. Karen Forge of the Lynn Haven River Now Project and Mr. Sean Corson, the director of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Chesapeake Bay Office. Both letters echo the sentiment that this project has carefully balanced the issues of the Lynn Haven to design a project that will provide key habitat for a variety of economical and ecological important fish and benthic species. At this time, I will turn the technical presentation over to Ms. Susan Layton, Chief of Planning and Policy at the United States Army Corps of Engineers, Norfolk District. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Layton, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. How are
good.
You today?
Fine, thank you, ma'am. Proceed, please.
Yes. So, good morning, Commissioner Bowman and Commission members. My name is Susan Layton. I'm Chief of Planning for the Norfolk District Army Corps of Engineers, and I am here today to seek your approval of our permit for 8 acres of hard reef habitat in the Lynn Haven. Our team has been working on this project for over 15 years. I personally have worked on the project for about 10 years with VMRC and our other restoration partners that we're going to discuss during the presentation. I very much appreciate the work of the Virginia Marine Resource Commission. Justin Worrell has also been on the project for quite a long time, and we have appreciated his work throughout in coordination with us. We did want to start out by just noting that the Lynn Haven Ecosystem Restoration Project is larger than just this 8-acre reef project. It does include submerged aquatic vegetation, wetlands, and hard reef habitat. It was a project authorized by Congress in 2013, and it was actually the only ecosystem restoration project in the nation to receive funding in fiscal year 18. So we were very excited to get some funds here for Chesapeake Bay restoration, and we will be focusing on the 8 acres of hard reef habitat for this discussion. So I'm not going to go all over all of this because we all understand that the Lynn Haven is important piece of Chesapeake Bay watershed, and we are working towards its restoration. I did want to point out in the context of this application that the Chesapeake Bay Agreement from 2014 is something that the Commonwealth and other Chesapeake Bay states, as well as the EPA and Corps of Engineers, all signed on for working on that restoration. And as a result of that agreement, there is a specific goal for oyster restoration. That is the restoration of 10 tributaries by 2025. Lynn Haven, as a result of a multi-agency group, was identified as one of those restoration targets, and a multidisciplinary team, including VMRC and the Corps and NOAA, Lynn Haven River Now, and Chesapeake Bay Foundation, all of our restoration partners in the area, did come up with a master plan for restoration. Within that master plan, there are approximately 45 acres of oyster reef left to be constructed to call the Lynn Haven a restored tributary. And this project alone would account for 31 acres of that oyster restoration. So approximately 70% of the acres needed to get to a restored tributary in the Lynn Haven would be provided by this holistic project. Of course, today we're just talking about those first 8 acres. So I did want to give a little bit of the context of the landscape within the Lynn Haven. As you can see, this is the existing reefs in the Lynn Haven built by a few by the Corps, but a lot of our restoration partners have also constructed in the Lynn Haven. We did want to note that we do believe this project is consistent with the existing visual, recreational, and commercial landscape in the area. We've worked closely with our restoration partners to construct reefs in the past and develop this master restoration plan. So So as we've discussed, there are multiple phases of the project. We did want to put this up here really to show the sites of restoration as part of the Lynn Haven Basin project. And as I go through the presentation, I did want to kind of try and address some of the protests and some of the concerns, because we absolutely acknowledge that there are concerns with the project and that we've worked hard to avoid and minimize impacts to the best of our ability. These are all of the phases in the Lynn Haven, and just as any restoration agency, we're limited to what real estate we can acquire. So we can't just build anywhere. We have to build where we've acquired. So in this particular project, the City of Virginia Beach, as the non-federal sponsor to the Corps of Engineers project, and I did mean to start out with this, the way the Corps works, we have a non-federal sponsor. So we're both contributing funding to the project. The non-federal sponsor is responsible for that real estate acquisition, and we are, worked with them to identify appropriate lease areas to acquire, but those lease areas available for being acquired are limited. So we do have to work within the constraints of what's available. So we definitely wanted to point out that this has been a long process. It's not something that's just started recently. The planning for this started in approximately 2005. to get us to where we are today. It was a $3 million study that actually took about 10 years and concluded in 2013 when Congress authorized the project. We then did start some design phases, and in these particular lease sites were identified as appropriate and acquired by the City of Virginia Beach in about 2016. We did receive that funding in fiscal year 18, and we submitted our joint permit application in September of 2018. So it was well over a year ago that was submitted. Then, based on concerns that we heard, we've had two public meetings since that time, so one in 2018 and more recently in 2019. That was both to provide information to the community to make sure that those concerns were that we were providing the appropriate information on the project, but also to listen to those concerns and be able to adjust and refine the project that we feel like we have done within the constraints of where we're working. We've done what we can to address those concerns. So the next few slides I'm going to spend talking about some of the concerns and how we've addressed them. We do want to emphasize that we acknowledge in any local, state, or federal project, it is a public process. We absolutely think it's normal for a project of this magnitude, regardless of how it's funded, for there to be concerns of users and landowners. So we consider that an appropriate part of the planning process. And as the Army Corps of Engineers, which is the largest public engineering organization in the nation, we welcome that feedback and feel that we've had some good dialogue. We know we have not been able to resolve all concerns, because I think there's just some conflicting interests here that we have to acknowledge. And so we can't completely address everything, but we've done what we can to work with those concerns in order to move forward. So just a little bit more specific about this site, and Justin went over this. I'm going to try and just focus on kind of the new information or the details that we want to point out. So it really is the hatched area is the larger lease area, but we are talking about construction in those colored squares. We have buffered away from the piers and homes to the extent practical, as well as, none of the actual navigation channels are near this area. There was a discussion earlier about some incorrect navigation channels in the original proposal. We did want to note that those were actually some of the proposals for neighborhood dredging channels. So we were just trying to look into the future to see what could come about and make sure that we were also planning, looking forward, and not going to impact anything that could come about in the future. So since then, that's not so much of an issue right now, but that was the purpose for that. We also wanted to speak to the incorrect depths. It actually wasn't incorrect. We referenced different datums, so we always use NAVD 88, and it was just a misunderstanding in what datum was needed by the commission. Once we understood what was requested, we provided that information. So just other things, of course, we wanted to make sure that we had the appropriate bottom substrate. And really important on this site in particular, more than our future phases, we did some hydrodynamic modeling. Actually, VIMS did that for us. and looked at larval transport and spat settlement, and this is really identified as a great area for oyster restoration in the Lynn Haven. There's a great potential for the oysters to be successful as well as transport throughout the waterway, which is really the importance and the purpose of the restoration project is not just these reefs itself, but it's restoration of the entire waterway. So specific to what we want to construct, these reef balls are approximately one foot high and by 1.5 feet wide. You can see one of our restoration partners there, Jackie Shannon, standing next to one of the actual reef balls. You can see the little yellow arrow pointing down is the size, the height of the reef balls. They are round and dome-shaped for safety, and they will be mostly submerged with a low-profile design. Now, it is, as been discussed, at mean low water, and we'll have a graphic here to talk about that. It is possibility that some of the lowest areas of the reef area could be above water during those really low tide times. Also wanted to mention that we did also look at the predominant flow moving through the Lynn Haven in that area because there was also some concerns brought to our attention of potential sedimentation, if this is going to change sedimentation in the area as far as like boater access and what. So we actually aligned the plan as best as possible within these lease constraints with the direction of the dominant flow in that location to allow sediment to move between the structures and to prevent sediment from being trapped within the structures or changing the sediment transport in the area. So I'm not going to read through all of these. I know it's a lot of text, but just, again, in addition to that, we used the larval transport model that we thought was really important and really wanted to emphasize why this location is very important to the long-term restoration. This does contribute to that 10 tributaries by 2025, and this particular project is the single largest funder needed for that remaining oyster restoration in the Lynn Haven. And I did want to point out, since these are federal funds and federal funds for ecosystem restoration are highly competitive in the nation, so we want to be able to execute these funds in this area because they can be reallocated to other areas in the nation if we can't execute the funds. So we would really like to be able to invest them here in the Commonwealth before, if we're not able to do so, they eventually would be reallocated to other restoration projects elsewhere.
What would that time frame be?
I can't state specifically, but we already received the funds a year to two ago, and we absolutely have to execute some this fiscal year. We're looking at that in combination with our submerged aquatic vegetation and wetlands. So it's hard to answer that, but we feel that it's imperative for our program to execute some of the reef funds this year. So that's our goal.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yes. Also wanted to point out that the dynamics for oyster leases have changed dramatically since this project is planned over the last 15 years. So when we first started planning this project, the concept of it being difficult to acquire a lease for the restoration project, that was a really different dynamic than it is now. As you know, the leases are in high demand. It's very difficult to find an area to do the restoration. There is a scarcity of potential sites, so we are working with what's available. I'm going to talk on the next slide or two that there was a discussion about native shell being used, and there's a few reasons for that. One, we actually formulated the project for benefits to the entire water column, so for fish and invertebrates in the benthic community, not just for the oysters themselves. So we really believe that there's a value in the difference of the reef balls as compared to the native shell. In addition, in the past, and this dynamic continues to change as well, we have tried to avoid using the native shell. VMRC and the oyster industry uses that as a resource that they need, and it is a limited resource. So we had been asked in the past for sure to, be careful of our large projects with large amount of native shell because that is a scarce it is a limited resource that will not always be available. So just, again, not going to spend a lot of time on this, but we do believe that there is some benefit or a lot of benefit to this 3D design, not all of which that you can receive from the flatter shell reefs. So the interstitial space or the spaces within the reef balls and the water circulation that provides, as well as the habitat area, we think provides a lot of benefit. Another thing I wanted to mention, because we have placed shell reefs in the past, and actually a few of our shell reefs in different locations in the Lynn Haven have been destroyed by large weather events that have come through, so we have had to look at going back with adaptive management. So another reason for kind of justification for the reef ball usage is it is these are considered permanent restoration projects in perpetuity, and we would like them to be self-sustaining. We do not want to continue to have to maintain them with shells. So we consider this something that is more solid and would not be as susceptible to large weather events or washouts, which has happened to our reefs in the past. So just some of the things that we've taken into consideration as we have heard those public comments, that we do have those signs. That was in coordination with both Commonwealth state agencies that requested that, as well as the U.S. Coast Guard, that we have to get a permit for this signage. And that is absolutely recognized that it could be a safety hazard. Therefore, the signs are there to mitigate and speak to that potential safety hazard. So also spoke to there's buffers from the nearby leaseholders as well as private docks. And we do have a plan to monitor and adaptively manage these for approximately the next 10 years. So if some of the concerns that we hear about, if sedimentation or whatnot did, if any of that did manifest, then that is something that we would continue to monitor and figure out how to resolve in the future. And as well, since this is 8 acres of the 31 acres that we plan to do or would like to do in the Lynn Haven, the approval and ability to construct this reef site will inform how we're able to move forward on the other sites. So we did want to point out that we think that this is not just important for the restoration community, but actually for the entire waterway. We have seen throughout the Chesapeake Bay that our constructed reefs have really improved recreational fishing in those areas, and we do not have any intentions of limiting the area to recreational users. The oysters cannot be removed, but otherwise, whatever can safely be done near these structures, we don't have any plans to limit that. We do think it will be very, of course, good for the oyster reproduction in the entire tributary, but also for recreational fishing as well as that commercial oyster industry. So we've already noted the public meetings. Also wanted to point out, of course, as a federal agency, we have environmental compliance, which includes public input processes that we have followed. So in 2012, we did have an environmental assessment on this full project, and that had a public review as well. And then as we've moved forward and got the more specific designs, we've had the more recent public meetings as well as public advertisements. We actually provided, we mailed certified letters to the residents near the project because we wanted to do our best to ensure that we were actually, that everybody was receiving that information about the project and had a chance to give us feedback on the project. In addition to the public, we've continued to coordinate with our stakeholders, our restoration stakeholders in the watershed. So just to make sure that we've touched on the concerns for the boating hazard, we did look to site our reefs within the lease that we acquired in the deepest depths possible. So we acknowledge that it is a shallow area, but we did look to shift to the depths that we had. We are not interfering anywhere near any current or proposed channels, and we do have that signage. As far as the impacts to the visual landscape, we do think that the reefs will be submerged the vast majority of the time. There is a possibility that they could be above water during that mean low water. However, that is consistent with the visual landscape throughout the Lynn Haven, so it's not something that's drastically different than what's out there. And that signage is there, but that's necessary from a safety perspective. And as far as property values, we really can't speak authoritatively to property values, but we, again, because this is consistent with other restoration projects and other natural areas within the Lynn Haven, we don't anticipate that there'd be negative impacts on the property values because this is a common type of activity in the Lynn Haven. And I also wanted to point out because this, and I think somebody kind of alluded to this earlier, this, you know, that lease could have been used for other purposes. I know that there has been discussion about aquaculture and cages. So this lease would not have those cages out there. The The other 17 acres of the reef that we're not using for, or I'm sorry, the other 17 acres of the lease that we're not using for the reef would be available to crabbers, recreational users, or otherwise, and we would not expect to have, anticipate to have aquaculture there. So from that perspective, it is being maintained in perpetuity without those impacts to it. I've already spoken to the incorrect water depths, and as far as oyster farming in the area and any negative impact, we do consider this a positive impact by increasing the number of reproducing oysters in the area. And again, the remaining areas in the lease would be available for crabbing and clamming, and we actually think that we're going to provide a good habitat for the critters in the area, so there could be some benefits on that side. So when we, I think Justin showed the mean low-low water. Here is the site depths at mean high water. This is just provided for a perspective. You can see kind of the key over here of depths on one side, and you can see within it's showing about 3.5 to 4 feet of depth at the mean high water. And then now we're switching to the pre-construction again. So this is before construction, site depths and mean low-low water. So there is, it's not, it's kind of hard to see, but there is a very small portion of the area that is, about 1 foot, but the majority of the area is a little deeper than that, anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5 feet at the mean low-low water.
So would you agree, excuse me, that the pier that seems to be closest to the project is about 200 feet from the project, using that scale, 250, thereabout? Is that about right?
It looks about right. I don't know if any of our technical staff has measurements what we've done from the
just inside, yeah, I'll take that. Okay.
215 feet,
yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I did want to note, because I, as part of Justin's recommendation, I will note that when constructed, a post-construction survey would be completed, which identifies the coordinates of all marker piles and reef corners. So absolutely whatever information is needed from us, we would ensure that that happens. So our partners in restoration did want to note, and I think we pointed out at the beginning, that you do have in your packets letters of support from NOAA as well as Lynnhaven River Now, but I would say that a lot of these other organizations have also worked with us in the overall plan of restoration within the Lynnhaven. And finally, in summary, we feel like we have evaluated and reevaluated this site multiple times. We've taken into consideration the concerns that we have heard. The resulting proposal that's currently under consideration represents the greatest degree of sensitivity to the residents and the citizens while balancing those environmental benefits. And we would respectfully request that the commission approve phase one reef projects so that we can get started on this important project that we do feel is a benefit not just to the city of Virginia Beach and the Commonwealth, but actually the nation. We can only get authorization for projects by Congress if they determine that it is in the federal interest of the entire nation. So really did want to specify what we consider a largely significant project. And with that, that concludes my presentation, and certainly happy to take any questions from the commission.
Thank you, ma'am. Members of the commission have questions. I'm sorry, Mr. Tankard, please.
Ms. Leighton, I had one question. You mentioned that you didn't mention that increased fish habitat was a benefit. Do y'all really believe that? Or I didn't see that in your benefit zone, but you mentioned that as a reason for the oyster, the balls that you're proposing.
Yes, sir. And that's that we do believe that, and I can't cite research, but there is research that supports that. And it's something that's still under, I would say, kind of being researched heavily right now. But I will note for our federal justification, the way that we justify a project is to quantify the benefits and compare those to the cost. For this particular project and this reef habitat, we actually quantified the benefits not just for oysters, but for the full biomass that we considered as benefiting from this habitat restoration. So we do believe and actually justify the project, which went through lots of academic and agency reviews before it got to Congress. That was part of our analysis and recommendation. So,
thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Ballard?
You mentioned the tightening market for oyster lease ground in the Lynnhaven area. How many different leaseholders did you contact and try and pursue either acquiring a lease or vacant ground?
So I can't answer that question specifically, and I'm not sure that my City of Virginia Beach team member that is here was on the project at that time. I know that we spent several years discussing first where would be appropriate areas to, and then we kind of narrowed it down to those leases, and then we looked at then what became of it, and it was very, very small number. I mean, it was not like dozens to choose from. I think it was more like when something became available that the City of Virginia Beach could acquire and it fell within the parameters that we felt were appropriate for restoration, then that was acquired. So I don't think it was not like we had dozens to pick and choose from. And I'm going to look back to see if anybody has, it looks like that's the best response I can provide.
Ms. Everett?
Good precision.
And
applaud the efforts to restore the Lynn Haven, very important goal, and you all are committed, obviously, for the amount of time. I guess just a little bit more about the information with, I know you said Shell's limited, and but there still is an ability to get three-dimensional reefs with, for example, substrate underneath, taking your shell, making it go further, getting some of that height with, you know, concrete, et cetera. Did you all analyze that as an option, given the specific site and where it is in proximity to recreational boating? Talk a little bit more of that.
Sure. So I would say we did discuss it, I guess, informally within the team, only because we were aware of the large concerns with the reef ball. But I will say the conclusion of that discussion and kind of what we feel strongly is it does provide a different type of benefit and a greater benefit to do the reef balls. We have had problems with our projects either being poached or the shell, again, washing away in other parts of the Lynn Haven. So we really have remained fairly strong to this point that the reef balls are our preferred habitat area. If we were going to go to shell reefs, our general specifications for shell reef construction is approximately 12 inches high anyway, because we found that to be what's sustainable in the long term. So it would still have that height, and, you know, generally we'll look for some mounding to give a little bit of kind of topography or geography to the location. So we did consider it just so far as we heard concerns with the reef balls, but we have felt from the beginning that the reef balls are what are optimum for this restoration, and also just trying to not use that limited resource. And the Corps overall, Baltimore District and the Norfolk District, worked together on oyster restoration within the Chesapeake Bay, and we have really moved almost entirely to alternate substrate, you know, when we can, as our recommended type of substrate.
Other questions? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Anyone else here in support of this project wishes to be heard? Yes, sir. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name for the record, please.
Captain Brent James. I'm the Oyster Restoration Coordinator for Lynn Haven River Now. I'm also on the steering committee for the Chesapeake Oyster Alliance. I'm an Eastern Branch waterfront homeowner in this particular area, not in this neighborhood, but within a mile. And I'm also the guy who maintains the City of Virginia Beach oyster leases that they purchased for this program, because we have to work the leases under the VMRC guidelines, and I'm the guy that goes out and works them and adds shell to them and that sort of thing. So
beneficial use guidelines.
Beg pardon?
Beneficial use.
Beneficial use, that's correct. It's already been mentioned that this is all part of the 10 tributary strategy. Lease availability I can speak to because I purchased a lease 6 years ago. About 10 years ago, you could get a lease in the Lynn Haven for about $200 an acre. The latest asking prices on several of them are over $2,000 an acre. So you've had a 10-time increase in the asking prices. Now, some of those are not getting purchased, obviously, but there is a bit of a gold rush mentality out there. So it's a difficult problem to say, for the Army Corps to say, hey, let's just move over or shift over. The City of Virginia Beach bought these leases specifically for this project, and this particular one was one of the original tranche of leases. The distance from the pier was mentioned. Something that I've learned from the Chesapeake Oyster Alliance, Maryland has a bigger problem with distance from the shore. They have one particular tributary where they are asking, the homeowners are asking for a half a mile off the shore, and it's only about a three-quarter of a mile wide tributary. So it can get to a really unreasonable extent, but 215 feet is a long way off the end of a pier, and that's a long pier, by the way, so that puts it into more of about a 300-foot distance from the shoreline. Boating in this area has been mentioned, and I'm sure there'll be some concerns mentioned about that, but it's well known this is a 1 to 2 foot mean low water area. Nobody's going to go ripping through there on a big boat. It just doesn't happen. People know that. They putter there through on their way through there. So I don't think that the concern about jet skiing or that sort of thing, pulling tubes through there, is a legitimate concern. And this will provide a great benefit. I've been involved with this project with the Army Corps for years now. And we've looked at the reef balls versus the, and as Susan mentioned, if we're going to do a shell reef out there, we're going to do it 12 inches anyway. So the difference between shell and these 12-inch reef balls is none, except that you cannot poach a reef ball. You can poach shell very easily, and that does happen in the Lynn Haven as it happens other places. That's a problem we have. But the reef balls are pretty much poach, it just can't be done.
Wouldn't you argue, though, that from a navigational perspective, impacting a reef ball would be significantly more dangerous than it would a 12-inch?
Well, what is being built now in the Lynn Haven is using crushed concrete substrate with a veneer of shell. Whether you're going to hit crushed concrete or concrete form.
What's the water depth at that location?
It's in the anywhere from the 1 to 4 foot depth, pretty similar to this. The Virginia Institute of Marine Science, Ram Lipsius up there, I talked to him last night, and they support this 100%. They're, from all the scientific studies, the settlement studies, and the hydrodynamics, they're also in favor of this project. So that's what I'm
going to say. Any questions, gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Ballard. I'm sorry. We've got Mr. Ballard first and Mr. Tanger.
You stated asking price per acre of around $2,000, and it's an 8-acre project. And I understand it's a $38 million overall budget for the entire project, but is there a budget for this specific project that's public information?
That would defer to the Army Corps on that.
Ms. Lake, could you come forward, please? Go on the record, please. Thank you.
Yes, sir. So this phase one portion overall is approximately $10 million because this is a project that will be going out for bid, we hope, in the near term. We're not really comfortable giving a price on this one aspect of it, but $10 million is what we're looking for in the first phase of wetlands, submerged aquatic vegetation, and hard reef.
Follow-up?
A follow-up, I guess, to me, $16,000 for the lease seems fairly small.
Well, the lease is 17 acres, not 8 acres.
The project area needs 8 acres.
Right.
How many people have you approached to try and find another suitable place? I guess that goes back to my first question.
Well, the partnership is between the City of Virginia Beach and the Army Corps. The City of Virginia Beach did the lease purchasing several years ago. They have not, to my knowledge, approached anyone else to try to buy separate leases or additional leases. They actually had leases in excess of what was needed, and they've divested themselves of those. So what is left are the ones that the Army Corps and the City of Virginia Beach and the Virginia Institute of Marine Sciences and all the other partners have agreed. These are the optimum locations, and these are the places where we'll get the most bang for the buck in terms of benefit, water quality benefit. Okay.
Who's next? Mr. Tankard?
Yes, I just have one clarification question, and that's, again, the reef ball is 1 foot height by 1.5 width.
That's correct. Okay. 12 inches by 18 inches.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Ms. Everett.
I'm not sure if this is a, not a question to Brent, but just to respond to Ms. Ballard, I do know from my work with Waste Restoration One Haven that finding suitable bottom available for lease is very challenging. So I will acknowledge that that is an issue that we do wrestle with.
Very good point. It's not just getting the leases. It's getting the leases on the kind of bottom we need, which is a hard sand bottom for these kind of projects. You can't do it in the mud because they just sink.
Further questions? Thank you, sir. Anyone else here in support of this project? Yes, sir. Raise your right hand. So I swear the testimony you give will be the truth, all truth, nothing but the truth. Sir, help you God.
I do.
State your name for the record, please.
My name is Russell Burke. I'm a professor at Christopher Newport University, previously graduated from the Virginia Institute of Marine Science, where I focused on native oyster restoration, specifically the use of alternative substrates for that restoration, and have worked with a number of people in this room, and am a member of the native oyster team or interagency oyster team that includes NOAA, CBF, and Lynn Haven River Now, and have worked very closely with the City of Virginia Beach in the past when we were trying to put together the original reefs that the Army Corps built, roughly 60 acres, in 2007 and 2008. One additional thing, most recently have worked with VIMS and the Army Corps to monitor their shell reefs throughout the Lynn Haven River system, and that was done in March of 2019. Additionally, I will say that in the Elizabeth River and a variety of other places, including the Piangatank River, as much as I can consider myself an expert, certainly this has been my focal topic of research, and we have observed rock reefs and shell reefs and concrete reefs that include the reef ball or pyramid or table-like, pretty much every design, including oyster castles and table or like X-like structures with shell embedded, but with just concrete. So I would say that I can speak to this from a varied degree of experience. And we'll say that at a site such as this, where it is hard sand, building out of shell alone will impact the overall productivity of the reefs. It would reduce it. Having that three-dimensional structure, as you saw, especially with the space and the holes, will impact the flow of water through there, which impacts the settlement of oysters and subsequent survival on those surfaces. So I just want to support what has been pretty much a unanimous scientific position that the design is good, it's sound, and has a high likelihood of succeeding. What I'd like to additionally offer, though this is not necessarily formal expertise, but through many observations over the last 18 or so years, and that is that, as Mr. James referenced, that in this system, due to its shallow nature, boaters tend to, when they're outside the channel, and as the Coast Guard would probably suggest, they proceed with caution due to the shallow and somewhat changing nature of the bottom. So I think that the likelihood of high-speed travel through this area is lower. Having the markers will certainly assist. I would offer additionally that if, because I really like the question about are there oyster cages typically on this type of lease bottom, and it's true. And they are generally marked by buoys with nylon rope or something in order to be able to retrieve them and work them. And so if you suggested or would consider additional buoyage at a certain interval that you would deem satisfactory for either recreational watercraft, including kayaks and jet skis, I would think that that might be a good compromise. And one other question, a response to a different question that was asked with respect to reefs attracting fish or being a good area to fish. Both on the recreational and commercial side, I feel like I have answers to that, and probably many people in this room could refer as well to this, that where we see reefs, especially reefs that are performing well, you almost always can see them from a distance, not necessarily by markers, not necessarily by the reefs, but by the crab pots, the buoys that line them, because they are so productive and crabs do tend to concentrate there. In addition, one thing that we usually can count on when we're monitoring these reefs in all different systems, including the Lynn Haven, is that there tend to be fishermen right, recreational fishermen, either on kayaks or in boats, smaller boats, right, so not like huge yacht-sized, and they know the area. They know that it's an area that is good to fish because of the number of either smaller reef-associated fishes or the shellfish or other smaller crabs that are good food for those larger transient fish. So I guess I would say that for smaller fishes, they are reef-associated, and they will be enhanced by additional reef acreage. And then larger fishes, the debate as to whether they are truly enhanced as the population grow because of more reefs, I think they'll always debate it. But the point is, it definitely attracts them to those locations. So when you're considering the major question of will you lose the use of this space, I think you will see enhanced use of this space around and within once this project is deployed and begins to mature. So those are my main comments, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Sometimes that last statement's in the eye of the beholder, though, as far as beneficial use, whether it's enhanced or not.
I guess at the end of the day, we leave that subjective determination to the commission, but we want you to have all the best information before you make that decision.
Questions to the gentleman? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else in support? Is anyone else in support after this gentleman? I'll swear everybody in at one time. We'll save a few time, a little bit of money, a little bit of time. Yes, sir. Good to see you. Okay. Solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name for the record.
Andrew Larkin, and I work for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, specifically the Chesapeake Bay office. Thank you, Commissioner Bowman and other commissioners for letting me speak today. So NOAA is here to support the permit request for the following reasons. As been mentioned earlier, the Army Corps, NOAA, and VMRC are all parties to the 2014 Chesapeake Bay Agreement that set the goal of restoring oyster populations in Virginia by the year 2025, specifically in five tributaries. MRC supported the selection of the Lynn Haven as one of the five tributaries in which to focus these efforts. And in 2018, MRC supported the completion of the Lynn Haven Oyster Restoration Blueprint that set the goal of restoring 61 additional acres of reef in the Lynn Haven. And in pursuit of this goal, this winter, VMRC completed construction of approximately 14 acres of oyster reef in the Lynn Haven using funding provided by NOAA. So this project by VMRC was an important step towards restoring oysters in the river. And as the commission knows, there's a limited amount of bottom in the Lynn Haven available to do oyster restoration. And so this proposed core project would be another important step towards reaching this oyster restoration goal. And the reef design, we feel, would increase fish habitat for many important commercial and recreational species managed by MRC and NOAA and the forage fish that they depend upon. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Questions of the gentleman? Thank you, sir. Anyone else here in support of the project? Is there anyone here in opposition to the project? Raise your hands. Okay. Who's first?
Let's see if I can open the presentation.
Okay.
Yeah, this is my first appearance, so I didn't realize we had all this rather part of PowerPoint.
It's all good, sir.
Commissioner, unfortunately, I can't get out of it. Let's see. Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, that's good. It's learning. The mouse, yes, perfect.
Sir, would you raise your right hand? Tell me where the testimony that you'll give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
State your name for the record, please.
Douglas Granger. My wife and I live on in Dix Creek, 1424 Five Hill Trail. We've been residents there since 1983. We got a boat in 1984, a 20-foot Wellcraft, great boat. Even had a Teflon coated prop. After 2 years of being on the Lynn Haven and finding our way around, the Teflon was long gone off that stainless steel prop. Hitting the sandy bottom just eats that up. If it was a concrete bottom, I probably would be getting a new boat every couple of years. When we moved into the area, I brought the boat home. A neighbor that actually developed Seabreeze, his son basically gave us the tour on how to get back in there, said 3 hours either side of mean high water is for navigation purposes. And with a 20-foot boat, I draw, the depth sounder shows 1.6 feet. West Marine thought it was crazy to get something that get measured in tenths of a foot. But if you're on the eastern branch of the Lynn Haven, you need that.
Sure.
In this permit first, I didn't realize it had been going on for 15 years. But when I first got a copy of it, about 2 years ago, I guess I met Justin. One of the things that appeared on page 2 was a statement that said, the depth of sight is listed as a key requirement in the project location considerations. On page 7, it states, post-construction, all constructed reefs will be 2 to 4 feet below mean low water. And I know we've been hashed through this, but as Ms. Everett pointed out, that's post-construction. You know, that's saying you've already put 1 foot on top of it. That was implying that there were 3 to 5 feet of water through that whole area. Now, that means through this whole project that everybody has bought into and all the government agencies have, you know, supported, and is based on bogus information. I mean, you've seen it. You know, there's sections 1 foot deep. Everybody that lives back there knows it. We can kayak at low tide, but that's about it. That 3 hours either side of mean high tide is what we basically base our schedules on. You know, you want to go to Chick's, this week you can do lunch, this week you can do dinner because of the tide moves. You know, putting a concrete bottom out there is just, I just have the sense that basically somebody has gone out, bought the leases, been doing a project for 15 years, and then all of a sudden, the first I've heard that somebody has actually realized that the depths are a foot is today. But I actually got a copy of something that showed that. I wonder if everybody in the city would have been in support of this project had they known that it was that shallow and a hazard to navigation. I mean, it's saying in here that there wouldn't be. It says 2.5 feet below mean low water and will not be a hazard to navigation. Now we're saying you're going to be able to see it. It's going to look like a Walmart parking lot at low tide between all the posts sticking up in concrete. I don't live facing the water, those multi-million dollar houses, but it's going to be like somebody build a Walmart out there. There's multiple statements made in the joint permit that, they've talked about this, that the reef would be at least 150 feet away from neighborhood channels. It will not impact navigation. As we have noted, finally, there are no government-maintained channels or local channels that are maintained by the neighborhoods. People just leave Dix Inlet, and through kayaking, whatever, jet ski, you can use that area. And there never will be, actually, any neighborhood channels back there because the city raised their SSD approval requirement from the state's 51% to do dredging to 80%. Can you imagine trying to get 80% of the people to do anything? It's never going to happen. You know, people have this sense like you'll be able to get to the city channel. Well, you know, I don't leave my dock in a 20-foot boat thinking I'm going to Baltimore or Miami. I mean, that's the area we use. That's the area we jet ski in. That's the area that my kids paddleboard and kayak in. That's where we tube. There's a whole fleet, and I don't see any of those people here, of tech dinghies that get out there on weekends during the summer, at high tide mostly. That's the area they race. They have a whole fleet of them. There must be, I don't know, 16 tech dinghies, sailboat race in that area. I mean, you can't have them over in the channel. I mean, if you look at this area, they sail in here. You don't want them over in the city channel where boats are making 20, 25 knots down the city channel. As you approach these grass islands, it gets shallower and shallower because it's all, and it's an oyster bottom. You certainly don't get out of a kayak over there without shoes on. So this is the deepest part of it, and now we're going to fill that with concrete. You know, my daughter's pretty good on a paddleboard. She does yoga on a paddleboard. I can really stand up on a paddleboard. You know, you fall off a paddleboard with the sand bottom, that's annoying. You fall off and it's concrete, that's a problem. On one side, you know, we're going to put 10 signs around it. That'll complete the Walmart parking lot look, if that's what we're trying for. And just as a point of reference,
we'll have to keep this for 30 days.
Keep it forever.
Okay.
There's a picture showing signs, and there were multiples placed in the Lynn Haven. That one is, and I don't know what department, what government agency installed that sign.
That would be us.
It's a steel sign that is below water at mean high tide, right next to the 5 and 6 channel mark.
The good news on that is, for what it's worth, is we're trying to get away from that. We want to handheld app type things for the computer, but right now the way is the Department of Health regulations. We have to install those in some
place. Well, they could put them on a piling. I mean, putting a steel...
We're not here to debate that today. I understand where you're coming from.
There was one right in the middle of Chick... So, you know, a neighbor who's an ER doc said, you'd be surprised how many times people come into the ER going, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time, you know. I mean, and if we're looking at, we already have a couple of concrete structures that aren't really well marked. On the eastern branch, if you're trying to get out of Dix and go this way across the front, there's a concrete jutty out here, which is very poorly marked. There's just some local sign. Neighbors saw somebody hit that in a jet ski that went airborne. Both occupants were thrown from the jet ski.
Mr. Granger, while you have that pointer, can you show me where your house is or your residence is in reference to that project about?
Dick's Creek, my house is right here. So I come out of here, and we use this area. Okay. So I'm right here on Five Hill Trail.
Okay, thank you.
It's not one of the mega billion. Adjacent to... Well, just west of Pharrell Williams' house, this point up here coming out of Keeling Drain, there's another concrete structure. On 4th of July at 10 o'clock at night, I towed a 24-foot pontoon boat with a dozen souls on board that were up on that concrete. It has one of those signs. It looks like that bumper sticker. If you're close enough to read this, you know, you're in trouble. And a lot of damage to the boats. So, you know, I'm apprehensive about putting concrete
Understood.
In a recreational area that we use daily.
Yes, sir.
So I'm trying to keep somebody from getting killed. I mean, 10 years, this project goes to the city of Virginia Beach. At that point, it becomes the city's liability, I assume, when somebody gets hurt. They're not coming back to this group. So the city will be forking out to the next of kin.
Thank you. Any questions of Mr. Granger? Mr. Zedrin has a question for
yes,
you, sir.
I asked a question. Was this lease such that the leaseholder prior to the city could do agriculture, put cages up there? This project is composed 8 acres of that 31 acres. What is your thought whether you'd rather have 31 acres of aquaculture pots there or 8 acres of this concrete?
I don't know. Is there a minimum depth of water that's required if you're using cages?
You want to address that?
The bottom line is if you do have caged aquaculture and it becomes a problem from a navigational perspective, you can come back to the commission and indicate that there is a problem, then we modify the permit. So it's not with surety for ad infinitum that those cages would be there. We could have those cages removed.
It's harder to remove concrete, I assume, once it's been there for a long
time. But the question is, would you rather have 31 acres of aquaculture cages there as opposed to 8 acres of concrete?
I'm assuming, since you can see the crab pots long before mean low water sticking out, you'd be able to see them at least, so people would be less likely. I don't know what the cages look like, but I'm assuming they're something like a crab pot.
12 inches.
Okay, so you know, either one would probably be a problem. But as far as since we've lived there 35 years or 38 years, I've not seen anything.
Further questions, Mr. Ballard?
Yes.
Would you be objecting to this proposal if it was a natural style oyster reef as opposed to structures?
Natural, you're saying it's still concrete in there, and you're going to raise the you're going to make it shallower in an area that doesn't meet the requirements of the original permit. The original permit said that water depth was a key factor, and not to impact navigation. And it's like we're so far down the road, and somebody goes, "Oh, it's not that deep. Oh well, we'll do it anyway." Because we've got the money allocated, we've got this done, we got that done, and everybody's ignoring the fact that site isn't suitable based on the requirements laid out in the original permit.
Well, we're considering that as part of our deliberations. We're not part of that group that's ignoring.
I certainly realize that,
sir.
But you're getting testimony. I'm not sure that all the city council in Virginia Beach knows that the water depth went from that to this.
Yes, sir. Follow up, Mr. Ballard. Anyone else? Thank you, Mr. Granger. Anyone else in opposition wishes to be heard? Good afternoon, sir.
Morning.
Raise your right hand. So I swear the testimony you give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name for the record,
My
please.
Name is E.G. Middleton. I live on Firefield Trail on a cove facing the proposed area of the project. First, I want to say thank you for hearing me today. I'm a fellow board member, not a fellow board member, I'm a board member of the Board of Contractors, and you're far more lenient on your regulants than we are. I'm welcoming you to come see us because we lower the boom a whole lot heavier.
You haven't seen us on a good day.
Okay. I'm opposed to this for a few reasons. Number one, it's a very, I was willing to say that there's probably nobody more familiar with the waterway of that area than myself. I have a 31-foot boat I come and go in on tidal. I have an 18-foot boat and a jet ski. My kids regularly travel this area and pull tubes and pull wakeboards. I see traffic on the weekends and daily running back and forth, and there was some talk about low navigational traffic. I see people flying through there. They do not know where the deep water is and the shallow water is not. There is no channel. My cove that I'm on, we are in a dredging project, and we're waiting for the city to we're in 100% agreement. We're just waiting on the city to do it. I'm concerned that when our dredging project comes to pass, that this oyster area, restoration area, is going to be very close to our supposed channel, which is 30 feet wide, I believe. The Dix Inlet restoration or dredging project, I think, has failed, which is a little bit to the east of where our project is. But I'm more concerned from a safety measure. This is 8 acres, the proposed 4 to 8 acres. It's a tremendous amount of territory that's going to be taken away from recreational boaters. There are a lot of recreational boaters every weekend from April to November and into December that go through there regularly. I see them. I know the water, the depths. As I say, I bring a 31-foot boat in there on a regular basis, so I know where I can go and where I can't go. So from a safety standpoint, I'm very, very concerned with the concrete structures. Question was just raised about whether you really have concrete structures or oyster structures, or oyster cage, excuse me. I think that's kind of like asking you, do you still beat your wife? There's no good answer to that. The closest navigational channels are the actual eastern and western branch. There are no navigational city main channels of where this is going. I'm all for oyster restoration in the Lynn Haven. I hunt and fish, and I'm a big proponent of it. However, I'm concerned about the amount of real estate that it's actually taking. 50 feet wide, 8 football fields long, and which a football field is 50 yards wide, it's going to take a lot of real estate. It's literally going to cut approximately half of the width of the river away at that point where it's to be provided. I've seen people come through there at nighttime that have no idea where they're going, and I'm afraid that there's going to be some fatalities later in life. I'm very, very concerned about that. If there were a fatality, I don't believe that anybody could get to it. There's not deep enough water that a police boat or a paramedic boat or anybody could get to it. Those are the biggest concerns. The safety. I'm for the restoration. If it could be shortened up or packed in closer to the shore, that would be far better than this large parking lot area. It was mentioned to be a Walmart parking lot. I won't go that far, but it's a large area that the public would very well be hindered in. Sandy bottom, I haven't done any core samples. I've walked in, and it's, if there's sand down there, you got to go down about a foot and a half to get to the sand. So, but I would encourage y'all to consider the safety hazard more so than anything, because the public is surely going to be impacted upon this, as people who do not know the river will be boating through there on a regular basis, and there will be a fatality. There's no ifs, ands, and buts.
Thank you, sir. Thank Questions you. On Mr. Middleton?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? We should be heard in opposition to the project. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Jean Madagunas.
Okay, could you come up to the podium, please, ma'am? Could you raise your right hand? So I'm going to swear the testimony you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God.
I do.
Can you state your name for the record again so we can get it on there?
Jean Madagunas.
Yes, ma'am.
I live in the area facing the oyster bed.
Okay.
My biggest concern is the cost associated with this. And in the 7 years that we have lived there, part of that area has not only been exposed completely to the point where we could walk from the shoreline all the way out there, it has been frozen. All of the oysters have been snow-capped. So I'm worried about the investment made that will all be for naught, first and foremost.
Okay.
I won't reiterate what's already been stated. I feel the same way. Safety issue is paramount.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? I'm sorry. I was just to make sure we finished up over here, but yeah. Anyone else in opposition? Because I do have a question for you as well, so now the time is appropriate. Come on in.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Commissioner. You have been previously
requested to come.
Well, you've been previously sworn.
Yes, Mark Luckenbach. Mark Luckenbach.
Thank you.
I requested to come up because we had an earlier speaker indicate he had a conversation with Dr. Lipsius last night, and it was all good, and VIMS is all in. VIMS's comments were supplied to you on July 19th.
I was going to ask you just if they had changed.
Okay. No, they haven't, and VIMS, as you know, on that provides some technical information. Doesn't say we support it, this project, or don't support it. Mr. World did a brief summary of that, and I'll do a similar brief one. The location that is proposed, we feel very confident, based on some of the hydrodynamic modeling that was mentioned before, and equally as important, on lots of time walking around in that area and Humes Marsh and know about settlement, oysters are going to settle on those concrete structures. And the circulation is good, and they'll get covered up with oysters. That part will work. Much of the rest of our comments speak to trying to put the ecological benefits of this into perspective. I need to go through the calculations that are in there, but you can estimate the number of oysters, be real liberal. I don't know to what extent the city was originally or part of this. It's a water quality derived thing. But we've literally estimated the limited number of pounds of nitrogen that would be creditable under current Bay Program rules on this, and it's small. The three-dimensional structures like that aren't, after two seasons are not going to look like concrete. They're going to look like concrete with a whole lot of oysters on them, and there will indeed be fishes and crabs around them, as has been stated. Lynn Haven is an area, we have a really good survey that's now a decade old, and I think of not only the oysters in there, the oyster habitat, the amount of riprap that's subtitled, all the stone, the concrete, the rocks, the material in this project would increase oyster, if we're going to call this oyster habitat, by less than 5% in the Lynn Haven. It's not a big game changer in terms of the number of oysters that can be in the Lynn Haven. Now, the Corps has stated this is a first step in that direction. So our comments from July 19 that you have make the point that number one, we think they'll attract oysters, they'll settle on it. They might die in a particularly cold year of being frozen intertidal, but they'll settle again. That area, I think, continue to get oyster settlement. It builds relatively little oyster habitat for the size of the footprint. And in a now 2018 really comprehensive review of oyster restoration efforts along the East Coast and Gulf Coast, typically using concrete and preformed concrete is the most expensive route per unit area of oyster reef that you get. So those are the technical comments that we provided you. I just wanted to make sure that we stand by all of them, including what I assume Dr. Lipsius was talking about with respect to this was the first of my points. Oysters will settle there and grow, and the hydrodynamic information indicates that their larvae will spread from there and maintain in the system. But it's we put some bounds in that letter on what you can expect for the ecological benefits and for the cost of that. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions for Dr. Luckenbach. Mr. Tankard?
Would you speak a little bit? I hear what you're saying, and I don't know much about this area, but I've always heard the Lynn Haven River was one of our most impaired rivers in the Commonwealth. And is that true, and would any bit of help that we could give be a positive for such an impaired waterway?
Well, so the impairments from a number of different ways. One of the areas, and the one that's been most dramatic that people have noted, we've talked about improvements in the Lynn Haven and opening it up for oyster restoration, was due to the fecal coliforms closed by the health department. And while shellfish can play some role in that, pretty aggressive scoop the poop campaign by Lynn Haven River now. There's also been stormwater improvements and upgrades, et cetera. So that level of, boy, the Lynn Haven's getting better, most of the press in that was driven out of the decrease in coliform counts and the opening up for shellfish. There's a lot of oysters in there, and oysters certainly don't hurt water quality. They filter water, which, by the way, it doesn't matter how much water oysters filter. Sorry to say that. Water's not a pollutant. It matters what they filter out of the water. I did the calculation in the letter you've got of what would be the expected one-time creditable nitrogen benefit for the nitrogen that they do. But there'll be oysters on there. They'll filter the water. It will be less than 5% of the existing oyster habitat out there. That's just to put it into perspective. Whether that speaks in favor of it or against it, I don't know in your minds. It's just those calculations are still valid. I don't know if that answered your question.
Mr. Zadrin?
Can you tell us, we've heard some testimony about whether it should be a shell situation or these concrete. Give us the pros and cons of it.
Okay. Pros of the shell is it's cheaper per area that you can cover. Although shell's gotten more expensive, you've also heard cons that they're competing against the state and private industry to buy it. Shell does degrade with time. So does the concrete, but not nearly as quickly. There might be an assumption that you could take that entire this 8-acre area, for instance, that they cover, only 14% of that 8 acres is covered. Literally, the footprint is covered. The rest of it is gaps. Shell, you could cover more of it. On the other hand, if you spread 8 acres of shell out there 6 inches or a full 12 inches high, you wouldn't be left with that. It would eventually rearrange, move, and you'd find it in tumps that look like some of the natural ones out there. They'd probably be 1 to 2 meters across. That's driven by the food dynamics and hydrodynamics. A thin layer of shell, as you've heard at least one speaker speak to, and a sandy area like that is likely to get covered in sand and not be available for oysters to settle on. A higher arrangement of shell, if it gets a really good strike and in some places gets cemented in, is likely to persist there. But again, that will, on its own, again, spread this deep and high and really large, on its own, it will evolve to something where some of it's eroded away and it's in these tumps. Either one is pretty sharp when you fall on them, because both shells that stay in place out there and the concrete will get good settlement on it. I don't know if that answered all of your questions.
Further questions, Dr. Luckenbach? Thank you, sir. Now, sir, the public, I'd ask anybody else had anything in opposition. No, he's a clarifier.
I just wanted to ask him a question. But
no, sir, we don't have that back and forth. That's not under Robert's Rules of Order. That's not appropriate. Anyone else here? And any other further comments that are okay? The city has 3 minutes to wrap it up. Ms. Lake, rebut whatever you may have.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for one final opportunity.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say a few things first. Very We appreciate the concern shared by the citizens. That's what keeps us doing a good job and planning good projects, so that is absolutely necessary to our process to build good projects. Mr. Luckenbach mentioned that, you know, that it's a small piece of restoration, but that's the only way we can do restoration. We can't generally, particularly in a place like the Len Haven, go out and put 30 or 40 acres out at once. So it is the type of small step necessary to help us to reach our goal. I did want to touch one more time upon Ms. Everett and others that have brought up the shell versus the hard reef habitat and mentioned, because it was authorized and planned as a concrete reef ball project, I do think there would be some administrative we'd have to take some steps back in the planning process, which does take me back to the concern and the risk of those funds going elsewhere. So it would set us back both in the approval to do the process because of what we have coordinated with our chain of command, as well as the compliance and regulatory purposes. So I do think that would be a risk to the project. And finally, also wanted to note, we talked about some folks were worried about the cost. The other sites that we have identified and have the leases acquired for in the Lynn Haven, the substrate is not as good. So actually, this is the optimal site of the hard sand. The other sites we have to work with, we may likely need to use mats and other materials, which will make the construction more expensive. So just from that perspective, this is actually the most cost-efficient way to go. So with that, just appreciate your consideration and ask for your approval, and thanks for allowing us to speak today on behalf of the city and the Corps of Engineers. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Zeidler has a question.
One of the gentlemen here testified that in the application, the depth of water was a whole lot higher, and that these structures would be under that and covered up. Can you address that?
Sir, I think yes. As I mentioned, we were using a different datum to start with, NAVD 88, and so that was the actual visual plans that we were looking at. That was the difference. Any miscommunication in the plan or otherwise, we have had multiple public meetings where we've disclosed this information and been very clear. I don't think there's been any misunderstanding amongst our partner or the Corps or the other organizations working on this project on what the water depths, and absolutely acknowledge that it's a shallow area that, you know, we will be close to, if not breaking the surface in some small portions of that with the constructed project.
I think what concerns me, and you hit on it, is that if we, you know, it's up to us as a commission, by virtue of the law of Virginia, to make decisions with what's in the best interest of the public trust doctrine, those that are impacted globally. But we're kind of caught between a rock and a hard spot, excuse the pun, when you come to us with a concept of a project, and then we may want to come back and say, well, you know, maybe there's a little bit better way of doing it. Maybe this will satisfy all the constituents involved. And it's like, no, we can't do that, because then, because, excuse the term, bureaucracy, I've got to go back, and this plan is the only plan. And if we go back administratively, I'm going to lose funds. And then the project that we may want for the right reasons, we can't approve. So it actually hamstrings the commission in doing its job with the bureaucratic rules that we're confronted with as we go about making decisions. It's kind of a tough situation to be in. And when we want to do the right thing, we don't want to lose a project that may ultimately be beneficial, but at the same time, we have also the code that says I have to look at for a number of other different things other than the timeline upon which federal funds may be lost for a project. And I don't mean to be flippant about it. It really gives me pause to cause as far as that process is concerned. So I just thought that's just for what it's worth. Mr. Zeidler?
My understanding is, though, that VMRC has been working with these guys from the beginning. I mean, we're just kind of hearing about it at the last minute when it's all done, but is that right, ma'am?
No, I think Mr. Worrell has a comment on that one. Mr. Worrell?
Mr. Zeidler, just to clarify that, and sorry if we didn't speak to this earlier, but not discounting the Corps and the city working on the Lynn Haven restoration concept for 15 years, but
The first time we see this specific project was in an application in 2018. VMRC did not work with the Corps and the city on the planning of this specific reef. Throughout a number of years, we've attended Lynn Haven restoration meetings where there are all types of projects proposed, from SAV to wetlands to reefs to rock to shell to oyster balls or oyster reef balls. This particular project is a core and a city reef. VMRC did not participate in designing and locating the site. Just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you, Mr. Worrell.
Am I allowed to respond?
Absolutely.
I just,
we want to get it all. I mean, seriously, where to find the facts?
Sure. I just wanted to respond. We have actually specifically talked about these sites at our multi-agency oyster restoration team for years now, multiple years, and organizations that have spoken and VMRC. And I understand that it might be different staff members, but, you know, we include VMRC in all of those discussions. So there have been, we have coordinated with VMRC, they have been part of those discussions for years before the permit was submitted.
And obviously, we're all in the same boat together. We want to restore the Lynn Haven River in a competent manner that provides for oyster restoration, cleaner water. We're all in it. We're all getting together from the governor all the way down to us as we sit here. So.
Yes, sir. And I did not want to, as far as you know, the money went going away, I wanted to lay that out as a risk. We will continue, no matter the outcome of this or we will be continuing to do our best to work on this project and make it successful no matter what route we need to go down. But we do feel and have continued to both coordinate as most we can to address the concerns and while we think balancing, which I know is your job, which is difficult, to balancing those concerns with the benefit that we do believe that it provides to the local and region and nation, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Tankard has a question.
I have one more question for you. It seemed to me in the opposition comments, safety was a central concern. And so I have a question. Do you feel like your signage takes that into the best consideration? And do you have any experience in other areas where you've done the reef balls and in similar locations with boaters who have safety concerns?
Yes, sir. So when we talked a lot about the signage and what should be, you know, what should be the verbiage on the sign and what should the signs be like, and they currently, I believe, say danger oyster reefs, and we worked a lot with the agencies and the Coast Guard, and so we do feel like, I mean, to the extent practicable, we have addressed that concern. So it has, I think it's come up on other projects. I've not, and if anyone else wants to speak to it, but I have not known of any resultant issues that have actually resulted from the reef balls. I can't speak authoritatively to that because I don't know everything that goes on in all waterways, but certainly on our projects, we've not actually had anything negative to occur from any of our oyster reefs, and I'm not aware of any oyster reef balls that have had that specific issue, but there may be others that know more than I do.
Mr. Zedrin?
You know, we heard the testimony about neighbors and friends and public kind of chance resident across that property. This thing's going to be really long. Has any consideration been given to put any kind of lights, you know, like we use the channel markers and things like that for night transportation across there?
So may I ask a technical team member, did we consider lights, Alicia?
Yes, ma'am, please. Thank you. Double-edged sword there. Right hand, so I'm going to swear a testimony you give be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the true self you got. State your name for the record, please.
Alicia Lagavo, Army Corps of Engineers. I'm the chief of the Environmental Analysis Section.
Uh-huh.
As part of this process, we did have to go through permitting with the U.S. Coast Guard, which we do have a permit for this. Lighting was discussed and the potential need for lighting, but based on discussions with the Coast Guard, lighting was not determined to be a requirement for this project.
Follow up, Mr. Zedrin, is that
good? No,
thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
I think that's the 3 minutes, unless you have any other further comment.
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Now, the matter is before the commission for discussion and action.
I have comments.
Comments, too. That's discussion as well, I guess. Right. Dr. Neal, please.
In most of these issues, I am biased towards staff recommendation. In this case, we don't have a staff recommendation, which irritates me. And also goes to address the difficulty of this project.
If I lived there, if I lived there and then the Corps and the city were going to put these reef balls there, I would say thank you and go forward. I'd be all in favor of it. And I would go out there and I would be catching speckled trout like crazy. That's what you're doing.
Yes, you would.
You're making a very good speckled trout habitat. Would be just, it'd be for me. comments about, you know, is this putting a navigational hazard? Well, if you're putting a 1 foot concrete ball and you're saying that's a navigational hazard and fatalities are going to occur, you know, you should be on the water. You know, seriously, if you're driving a boat in that type of manner in this amount of water, that you're going to cause a fatality by a 1 foot difference in navigation. You really, I can't tell you any props I've dinged in my lifetime, and so Murphy's prop knows me by name, I think the dramatics of this is going to kill people is over the top. Now, is it going to impede some navigation area? You know, from the locals, I wouldn't think so. I mean, you know it's there. If you're talking about somebody coming from out of town running, well, they shouldn't be running here anyway. And so I don't know what the right answer is for it. In general, my I'm going to support it because I'm for the environment, I'm for oyster restoration, and I'm for fishing habitat. But I don't know that I'm right. I'm kind of where staff is. Those are my comments.
Mr. Zedrin.
This is a tough one again. And, you know.
Probably pay you the big bucks. Nine.
I made a comment. I had a nice big tract of land on the little river in North Carolina and paid a lot of money for it and everything like that. And then, you know, I can identify with these property owners. I mean, you know, when you look across the river there, there's nothing there but river. And then, of course, one day, you have jetties and you have this and you have that. And I can understand where they're coming from, especially in that Lynn Haven area, because it's a beautiful area there. And then right across the little bit there, there's a public boat ramp and stuff like that. And if you go there in the summertime, what you see is these people with jet skis and little boats, they just run up on the sand, and they'll have their grill out there on the beach and stuff like that. And so they actually use that shallow area. But that being said, I'm stuck on this thing about the question I asked. You know, that lease that they bought allows them to put aquaculture on. And so that person who had that lease, and I guess the city could do it too, I don't know, 31 acres of that lease, they could put whatever they could on there that would comply with the aquaculture. And I've asked that question a couple times today. You know, you got 8 acres here you can't use, but you're getting the balance of those that everybody can use. And you're staying away from all the big thing with me is if you look at that lease, it almost touches all those the piers. I mean, if you look at that lease, can you put that lease back up there? You see that lease there, I'm talking about the whole lease.
Whole lease in red.
Yes, and that comes up right against these guys' piers and everything like that. And this 8 acres is pushed off in the water. I think the comment was 215 feet from the closest pier. And so I think that's somewhat of a compromise. If we put shell there, 12 inches of shell, that's like a concrete wall. You know, you ain't going across 12 inches of shell in low water there. We have not had the benefit of these people from the Corps and everybody else. They put hundreds of hours in this thing. And, you know, even our process is somewhat difficult to get through sometimes. But you're going through the Corps, you got NOAA, you got these people, that people, all these public hearings. And one concern that was addressed that this gentleman was testifying to at the application, they said, well, this is going to be, they're going to be below the water 3 or 4 feet. Well, the lady from the Corps has addressed that issue and said, we were using different charts. That's all come out. We've discussed all that. And so it's all out on the table. And so I'm going to go along with the doctor here and support this application.
Anyone else? Mr. France?
Yeah. I've known people that have worked on the water and been on the water in their own little location all their life. And you can have fog, you can have snow, you can have darkness, you can be impaired by alcohol, which shouldn't be, but these things happen right in their own areas, and they get hurt, and it happens. Now we're creating a 6 football fields of concrete structure out of the water, sometimes on low tide. And as many people that recreate in this area and live in this area, I mean, I've never been here by boat, but I've been over the bridge, and you can't see the sand beach for boats. And I just think, you know, we're creating something here that's going to hurt somebody. It's going to happen. I can't see it not happening. And I can't support something that I know where somebody will eventually be hurt.
Ms. Everett?
Commissioner Bowman, could I ask a question about process here to you?
Or my attorney, sure.
Sure. So if we could we propose a motion to modify the technical aspects of the permit, such as shell...
That's correct, huh? We have a right to do anything you want to with the permit. Reject, modify, yeah, approve.
Maybe for the comment based on...
Sure.
So this one's very challenging for me. Obviously, believe in the restoration, progress of the Lynn Haven, and the Corps is a very important partner, and believe there's a lot of momentum here to continue. I also know, as we discussed earlier, that it's not easy to get these projects funded, technically suited. I do think what I'm wrestling with is the technical design of the project. It's got some serious challenges for, you know, the conflicts, recreational, potentially other aspects that are in the purview of the commission. So to me, I'm wondering, is it possible without complete risk of losing all support, federal or you know, congressional authorization of this project, to revisit some of the aspects to make it more suitable to what traditionally would be there, and it's in such a abrupt contrast from what is there now, given the site. So specifically, potentially having staff work with the Corps, if that's a suitable next step, to look at three-dimensional reef, which would be potentially partially shell or partially substrate, but just not the exact design. That, well, I know the Corps has figured that was the best determination from technical standards, might not be the best site for the reef.
Tony, can you come forward?
Sure.
I want you to correct me if I'm wrong. I think what you would have to do, if you decided to make a motion, you'd have to make a motion specific that we could determine where you were coming from as far as whether you wanted to go to, and this is just thrown out, whether you want the existing, whether you want to work with Shell, or that's...
Well, I think it gets back to process.
What would we have to do for you to do your job coming off of this table?
Let's just hypothetically, if a motion is made and supported to modify it and approve a certain type of project, I think the motion would have to be fairly specific as to what parameters you would accept for staff to work with the Corps on and then issue the permit. On the other hand, from a process standpoint, if you wanted the Corps to go back and incorporate a shell design and do something different that didn't have specific parameters, I would suggest that we might want then to offer the opportunity to go through another public interest review for another type of project, and then the public could weigh in as well, and we'd be back in front of you for a final decision based on that.
And I don't mean this the wrong way, but to do that mechanically would be basically to turn the project down, let it start over again, come back with an alternative. That would start the clock. Is that correct?
I don't know that. From a starting the clock standpoint, if you absolutely deny it, I think we've got a year before we can act on another project if it's denied. But if you give some parameters of what you'd like for it to look like, and that gets vetted and designed, and then we go through a public interest review, we'll come back with you at that point. So I don't think it trips that switch of having to stop for a year. Would be just a staff perspective on that. I see the attorneys getting the law book
out. I'm going to go to her here shortly. Kelsey, Ms. Block, did you have a comment, or do you need to read some more?
Tony, what code section are you referring to?
I forget, 1206, I think, that gives the year of... near the end there.
While we're doing that, can you keep talking through what you're thinking about, Ms. Everett? That would help a little bit better.
Sure, and granted, I believe in the technical merits of Reef Falls. Our organization uses Reef Falls, and I think that they are appropriate and an important tool that restoration depends on as we move forward, particularly given the availability of shell. So Reef Falls are an important resource. It just seems in this particular location, it's set up for a lot of conflict and potentially, obviously, with safety as well being a key concern. So I wish we could turn back the clock. We can't, but if there were a way to modify it where we could lessen some of those concerns and potential risks and still move forward with restoration, that would be ideal. Not certain if that's possible. Again, starting the clock back, to me, says that some of those risks are inherent, but I really, I guess, just pose those comments for discussion among commission, commissioner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just real fast, Mr. Bell, let me get check with counsel. Go ahead, Ms. Block.
So the language in the code is no person shall reapply for the same or substantially similar use of bottomlands within 12 months of the denial of a permit by the commission. So, I mean, if we're talking Reef Falls versus shell for the same purpose in the same area, I don't know how we get past the substantially similar use of bottomland.
Unless the commission is the one that modifies the permit that goes out the door. Correct?
Yeah, you can modify a permit, yes. It's just denial.
Okay. Mr. Ballard?
I guess the modification is interesting, but I know we asked at least one of the protestants whether he would still be opposed to a natural reef, and the answer was long, but was essentially yes. And so I'm not confident even that if we do propose a natural reef, that we're not going to be right here in the same situation that we are now, a year from now, or a few months from now. I certainly feel for the protestants in this situation. It's a very interesting area and a very interesting case. At the same time, we're hearing about all these recreational users of the area. We've had a few protestants, but in terms of amount of people we've seen protesting to similar projects, it's really very, very small compared to when we've looked at other projects in the Lynn Haven and other water bodies. I tend to lean on the side of Mr. Zedron and Dr. Neal that while I have some concerns, I ultimately agree that the public benefits of the project outweigh the public detriments.
Mr. Tanker.
Yeah, I think we ought to just remind ourselves, you know, we started out the meeting with the accommodation to our two officers, VMRC officers, and one of the statements the Coast Guard official mentioned was that public safety was their number one concern, and the Coast Guard has signed off on this project, so I kind of feel like we've had, as mentioned, very few protesters for this, and this is an area that is not a channel, I would submit that the Eastern Shore of Virginia, the seaside's full of wish rocks that are easily as impenetrable and as unforgiving as these oyster balls are. So, and people navigate around them every day. So,
all righty, Mr. Zedron.
Well, you know, the other thing is we saw the signs, and so I can't imagine anybody in the daytime going across that area with 10 signs around it, and whether they're in a kayak or jet ski or anything. And then I asked a question about lights at night. I am no expert. The Coast Guard is. And the Coast Guard, you know, says, no, you don't need lights out there. And so I'm going to defer to the Coast Guard.
Further comments? Well, what concerns me is it's just as a lot of things. But I'm going to just go and distill it down to our advisors at BIMS, who indicated that placing a large number of concrete structures in shallow water in a densely populated area like the Lynn Haven is likely to be controversial. Question: a more traditional approach to planting oyster shell would be more socially acceptable. I think under 1205, that would be my preference, but I am not here to make the motion. That's just my statement. Matters before the commission for action. Mr. Zedrin.
I move we approve the permit as it's been submitted.
Motion made by Mr. Zedrin to approve the permit as submitted. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Dr. Neal. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify. I'm sorry, Ms. Everett?
Robert's rules, it's the vote on the standing motion carries. There's no potential to propose a substitute
yes,
motion?
Yes, you can. You can propose a substitute motion. That motion, if seconded, will be voted on first.
So, again, question of process, if that's possible right now. Based on your comment 1 moment ago, because, again, I'm in the same mindset, too, that the last line of the BIMS letter in July 18th, but sticking with me, is it possible to propose a substitute motion to look towards modifying for a more traditional approach to shell?
You can make a motion to put zebras on the bottom, and I don't mean that in the wrong way, but yes, ma'am, you can do that.
I'd like to propose a motion to consider or to modify the project for shell as a potential project development based on coordination with BMRC staff and Army Corps of Engineers.
And no reef balls? We've got to go one way or the other based on...
There couldn't be a combination. There couldn't be a change in design, but inclusion of some reef balls.
So the issue with the modification like that is that it doesn't really give a good idea of what you're actually permitting. Now, an option could be if you wanted to essentially not deny it, not approve it, and just send it back for more information, that's another option. So if you want to send it back for them to have further conversations and see if they can bring it back to the commission again, that sounds more like what you're trying to do than to actually modify the permit. Because if you're going to modify the permit, we got to be specific.
Would it be possible to open up that proposed motion to the commission for discussion?
After you make the motion, because I don't know what the motion is.
Okay. The motion being that this permit be allowable based on shell as a substrate, with some alternative potentially as well, not reflux.
We can't have some alternative potentially as well. The permit needs to say specifically what we are allowing on the bottom. So either we're allowing shell, or we're allowing reef balls, or we need to specify specifically what combination we're doing. So if we're going to modify the permit, essentially we have to describe what the project is going to look like.
And Mr. Bowman,
yes, ma'am.
I think that what I'm struggling with personally is that I don't think we can dictate at this time that potentially even there would be available shell as the only source of relief for a 3D dimensional project which they've been authorized for 8 acres in a time frame that's doable with the planning. So I think I'll have to abandon the proposed motion.
Okay. So we have a motion on the floor by Mr. Zedrin, seconded by Dr. Neal. to propose or to move the project as presented. Further discussion on this motion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Opposed.
I vote no in deferring toward VIM's advice. The motion carries, what is that, 7-2. Thank you very much.